Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani. From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you live globally on many global network platforms, including iTunes and YouTube and Stitcher, and Blog Talk Radio, Mixcloud, Listen Notes, Blueberry, and so many more. And, of course, on our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. Our goal here is to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. I know it's just a terrible, terrible thing. Sounds terrible when you get it. I get the chills when I say it. But we have an exciting show planned for you today with my lovely co-host, founder of the Caregiver Space, Adrian Gruberg. Say hello, Adrian.
Hello.
She's a little slow on the draw, but she's there. Today, we'll be interviewing Tina Scallon, and you will not want to miss this show. She is an amazing blogger, and she's just helping people all over the place. And her forte is, you adult children out there, you've got elderly parents, we're going to give you lots of good advice. So I'm your host, Dave Nassani. This show is to caregivers of every single kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring and selfless and sacrificial. They have this tiny little problem. Oh, yeah. They're prone to burnout. 30% of them die before their loved ones do. 60% of them become hospitalized, needing a caregiver of their own. Tiny little problem. But we can learn something from the airlines to tell us in the event of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask. That makes sense, right? I know it sounds kind of selfish, but it works. Because if you black out, everyone blacks out. Everyone's dead. And we don't want to go there. So I just think it's an amazing metaphor for all of life. Take care of you first. But before you take care of your loved ones, and it's not a selfish thing. Selfish is not a dirty word when you're a caregiver. Now, we talk about grief and loss here also and the devastating effects it can have on us. Anytime we suffer a loss, you know, your girlfriend dumps you, the doctor says you have cancer, your wife serves you with divorce papers, whatever it is, we go through a grief process. It could take days or weeks or months. Everyone is different. But if you feel like you're ready to move on with your grief, you know, it's been 5 years and you can't get out of bed, I think we can help you. Now, only one way out of the grief process, that's to go through it. There's no shortcuts. You can't go around it, over it, under it. So hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss. Hey, I do want to take this time to thank my last week's guest. And you can see that podcast on our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. And just a reminder, go to my website and take that short quiz. Are you a candidate for burnout? And just for doing that, I'm going to send you a copy of my ebook, my first book, all about overcoming unbelievable hardships. And it's a great deal. But enough of me and our book tour. I should probably say that. We're going to be going to New York. We're going to be in Adrian's part of town, and we're going to get together first time in Manhattan. And so that's good. We're going to be meeting with many producers of television, radio, and publications. So please pray that we get the right ones and that they like us and we have favor with them. And my wife will be there right by my side. So that's going to really make a difference, because I usually don't go with her to pitch producers. So she's just wonderful window dressing, and she lights up the room. And how can they say no to her? So welcome, Tina. Why don't you take a minute or two and introduce yourself Just who is Tina Scallon and why was she put on this earth?
Tina Scallon is here
Yeah,
to be the
she's in the
ultimate
building.
caregiver. And I was put on this earth to be the ultimate caregiver. I ran a company for 25 years, and it serviced from Louisiana, the Gulf Coast of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. And then when I got to Florida, things got a little crazy. The rules and regulations started getting crazy. The employees were not knowledgeable enough to hire. And back in 2012, I gave up my business and decided to write a book to tell the whole world how to take care of their loved ones. Well, after that, it wasn't meaningful enough to me. And I decided to start a website called The Ultimate Caregiving Expert to where I can help everyone in the world with their caregiving problems.
You have a big mission, big
Yes, I do.
vision. So, did I introduce Adrian? Hi, Adrian. Yes, I asked you to say
Yes,
hi.
you
I remember
introduced
now.
me.
We always are so fortunate when Adrian can make it. She's recovering from knee surgery and had a fall right after surgery, and that just took her back. How are you doing, Adrian? Are you feeling any
I'm doing
pain?
okay. I'm getting there, walking without a cane most of the time.
And that's not easy to do in Manhattan, is
But I'm not being
it?
stupid.
Yes, don't be stupid. Lord knows caregivers don't do stupid things, right?
No.
Well,
That's why I
back.
started my website.
That's why you started your website. So I came up with a bunch of questions having to do with adult children and, the parents. First of all, it's a strange thing for an adult to take care of their parents because, after all, they're the child. I mean, we're always going to be children in our parents' eyes, aren't we? Right? Even
Yes, we
though
are.
there's a 50-year-old balding guy with gray hair on his chest and his face, the parent sees that kid as a 5-year-old. Yes or no? Is this just me?
Always.
Yeah.
Yes. My at 96, my grandmother was still worrying about her little boy, my
Oh,
dad.
bless her heart. So there's questions that they should ask their parents. Like, for example, do you want to live in your house for as long as possible? Right? That's an important question. Yes. What is your experience, Tina, with that very first question? Because that's a biggie, right?
Well, let me start by this. Our parents gave us life, education, clothed us, fed us, the whole nine yards. So it should be an honor most of the time to take care of our own parents.
Yeah.
And the problem is that back in the 60s, when we had happy days, mom stayed home, dad went to work. Mom taught the children everything. But in the 70s and the 80s, mom had to get a job. Inflation started to come around. And then the kids were staying at home by themselves. And home economics went out the window and things started to get a little crazy. But as far as caregiving for your parents, you have to make sure that you are physically, mentally, and emotionally ready to do it. Because it is a big job and you can burn out quickly.
That's a tall order, physically, mentally, and emotionally, huh?
Yeah.
So how many, what percentage of those children, adult children, would you say are up for the job, are healthy emotionally, physically, and mentally?
As of right now, with the National Caregivers Alliance, 66% of Americans are now taking care of their parents.
So are they doing a good job? I mean,
Well,
how do we measure that?
sometimes we are thrust into a situation. I mean, mom can be great one day, and the next minute she could be on the floor with a broken hip. And we don't know what to do or how to do it. And that's kind of why I'm here. I want to help people with that situation.
Well, you're needed, that's for sure. So are there things we need to do, like to the house, so it's safe and
Oh,
comfortable for you at
absolutely.
your age? Can we make some of those changes like now? Or do we need to hire a contractor to make some of those changes? And you know what their schedules are like.
No, it's pretty easy. I mean, Amazon sells everything for the home. There's
And
grab
YouTube shows
bars.
you how to do it, right?
And exactly, there's grab bars that have the suction cups. There's tape, two-sided tape to tape rugs. You know, the biggest thing is clutter. Once we get rid of all the old things that we've had for the last 50 years, and we kind of streamline things, it gets a little bit easier. The name of the game is organization.
So if you're an unorganized person, what advice do you have to give them? Hire a professional organizer? I do that, actually.
No.
Because, I mean, I can do a lot of things, but I can't get rid of clutter on my pool table. You know, I have a pool table, and we rarely play pool. I don't know why we don't get rid of it, but my wife says, no, for the one time a decade that the kids come over, you know, you want to play pool. So in the meantime, it becomes this clutter thing, and I can clean it off, and you can just see it slowly. I should put a time-lapse camera, just how it grows like bacteria.
Grows, yeah.
Or exercise equipment, that tends to do that too.
Ouch, did you say that out loud? Oh, I have this pain in my, oh, thanks, Tina. So what are some of the things that the contractors have to do? And by the way, you should be careful of those suction things. I put a post on Facebook about a year ago, and I got a whole bunch of posts. Those things are dangerous. The suction doesn't last, you know, and you grab it and you think it's good and you're down on the floor. And I guess that's true because I've got a suction thing I put on my mirror in the car for my cell phone. And every now and then, you know, it just drops on the floor. And I said, oh, I guess it needs to be resucted. Resucted, is that a word? And I guess it lasts longer when you put water on it. But it's got to be a really glass-like surface, you know. And some
it's got to be very clean.
Yeah, if some bathrooms don't have tile that's really, really smooth, you know. So just be careful about that. That's what I'm saying.
Well, there's a new one to where you put it in, and if it's secure, it is green. If it is unsecure, it turns red. And
that's
so
that's smart.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was on Shark
Very
Tank.
Smart.
And matter of fact, there's a lot of things because when I was, okay, I had the business for 25 years, but then once I gave it up, I wanted to see what my employees went through, what it took to become the ultimate caregiver. So I actually became a caregiver for about 3 to 5 years. And I learned a whole lot. And there's wonderful things. I mean, there's lifts that you could put in a bathtub that are remote control that could put you in and get you up because a lot of people can't get up.
And swimming pools too.
Yes, yes. And, you know, you just have to, common sense, it goes a long way too.
And you can pay full retail at the store, or you can pick up the classifieds or online classifieds, and you can get such bargains. I mean, we were in the need for another mobility van because ours was kind of wearing out, and it gets terrible gas mileage. It was one of those full-size ones. And just by doing some shopping online, I bought a van with the slide-out ramp as opposed to the big brawn lift that goes up and down. Mm-hmm. And those things go for $40,000 to $45,000, 5 years old, and it had 5,000 miles. And, you know, that's why I was just looking because I didn't want to pay that much. And so I found it says, make me an offer. I called them up. They said that they had actually sold it to this mobility place. And they told him, that we have this little boy with multiple sclerosis, and he could really use your van, and we'll give you $20,000 for it. Van's worth 40 to 45. So pulled her heartstrings. She said, yes, okay. And she's waiting for the check. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, still no check. Finally, she gets impatient. She says, heck with them. I'm putting it in the paper. So I come along, and she tells me the story. And I says, I'll give you 20. She goes, well, okay. After I buy it, I take it to just a coincidence, the same mobility place, and they check it out. And he says, we were going to buy this van. The check was cut and everything. I says, well, apparently you waited too long. I says, how much would you have sold it for? She goes, $42,000.
Yeah. So
I got a good deal.
I have lots of experience, and unfortunately, I did spend $45,000.
So well, we've all been there and done that at one time, but now we're older and wiser, and so there's lots of things you can buy. One of those lifts you're talking about, for the shower, for the swimming pool. Because what happens? The reason I found such a good deal is because the guy owned it for like a year, and then he died, and it's a sad thing that he died, mm-hmm. But what's she going to do with it? And you just feel emotional and
that
you
happens.
Just want to get rid of it. It reminds you of him and you don't want to make a lot of money. You want to bless somebody else like it blessed you, and lots of deals out there. So don't go buy in retail.
Oh, I agree. I mean, there's Letgo, there's Facebook. I mean, there's tons and tons of sites like this.
Yeah. And then another question. To move on here, are you willing to move into a smaller place that's easier to manage, like a condo? Some of these parents live in these mansions, with stairs, three-story yards, multi-level yards, like we did. We lived in a beautiful place in Burbank, and my wife couldn't climb stairs anymore. And that was her baby. That was her house. She says, just bury me in the backyard. I'm staying here. I'm not moving again. And so it was not easy to... Because she lost everything. She lost her car. She couldn't drive anymore. Her relationship with the little grandkid, because, she was acting different. She, grandma was kind of scary now. And now she was losing her house.
Right.
And we had to move to a place that she never wanted to move, near my gas station up in Castaic Lake, which, she claims is just kind of Hickville. And it kind of was at the time. This was many years ago. But they were just farmers. It was a truck stop town, dirt roads. And so we had to move her kicking and screaming. But, it was necessary because either my gas station was suffering because I was 35-mile commute every single day. 19 years I commuted. But we just had to do it. We had to do it. And it's not easy. It took 2 years to build up the courage. Because we knew it was going to be World War III, right? And you want to choose your battles carefully. You got to ask yourself, is this the mountain I really want to die on? Well, unfortunately, this mountain, it was necessary to die on. And we did it, and everything's fine now. She got used to it. It's a smaller house. It was half the size. So what do you say about all that?
You're very lucky.
Lucky? Why? What normally happens?
Well, she was very agreeable.
Not at first.
Well, I've come into situations to where it was no, period, no matter what, and you better find a solution for me. And believe it or not, I had a client that had a small house on a lot, and we actually had an elevator installed in his house that actually went up only 3 stairs, but we did an elevator. And now they have the chairs to where they go up the stairs. So
that's
there's
true.
Always an option. There's always an option.
Yeah, but with me, like I said, it was this commute. My business was so far away, and I needed to spend time with her. I needed to spend time with the business. Mm-hmm. And, I had to lay down an ultimatum. I says, listen, I'm moving. I said, I'd love for you to come with me. If you want, I'll stick you in an apartment. Because she says, well, our kids live by. I says, they never visit. I was willing. I was kind of bluffing, but you got to be tough like this. And you say, I'm going. Either you're coming with me, or you can have this nice, tiny little apartment so you can be by your kids, our kids. But I'm going. And I guess it works. She didn't call my bluff, and so she at least wanted to pick out the house, because I was going to pick out the house. And she said, no, I'll pick out the house. So, of course, she couldn't talk, but she communicated that. So, yeah, I guess I was lucky.
Yes, because then could you imagine having to have 24-hour caregivers while you sat there and had to go one way and she had to have some. Caregiving
right.
is very expensive these days.
Or if there's an emergency, it would take me 30 minutes to get home, you know, whereas
yeah.
now I'm 2 minutes. I can be there in 5 minutes, you know. So let's take a quick break because we have other questions here. So don't go away, and we'll be right back. Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver, has just released his sixth book entitled It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how. Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996. He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through, because he is one. And he now speaks all across the country, offering caregivers his incredible caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child. And caregivers are exactly the same way. It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. Will help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life, and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today, or buy one for your special caregiver, on sale everywhere, and at caregiverscaregiver.com. And we're back with Tina Scallon and Adrian Gruberg. Welcome back, guys. That was a short break, huh? Okay, next question. I want to know, would you be willing to hire someone to help you at home if you can't do it on your own anymore? Great example. I was using a skill saw. I've been using a skill saw for decades. I know how to use a skill saw. And, you know, I just ignored one of the silly little rules. Don't tape the guard, the safety guard, you know, which guards the blade, you know, but it was in the way. And I wasn't using someone to hold the other end of the molding I was cutting. And sure enough, man, I cut my tendon and 2 months of recovery. And I had to appear on television with this big stupid cast. And I had to rip one of my sport jackets to get the cast inside the sleeve. And so I'm just not going to use the skill saw anymore. So it's true. If you know how to use power tools, you probably could. But maybe some people should just hire somebody. What do you think?
You mean klutzes?
Did you say the C word, huh? Klutz.
K.
Oh, klutz with a K. Okay.
K-word.
That's much better.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you do have to hire caregivers, but sometimes parents are demanding. I took care of you. You take care of me. And it's not easy. I've come across this thousands of times where mom and dad have a beautiful daughter and they just assume my daughter is going to take care of me for the rest of my life. And then they get into a very bad situation. It's messy. It's not an easy situation. And the daughter just cannot handle it. And the parents like, what are you talking about? You have to do this. You promised you'd take care of me.
Yeah, but we have a signed contract here, remember?
Well,
you see, it's interesting. Tina says they have a beautiful daughter. They also have a very handsome son. But it's the daughter that they're counting on.
Ever since my daughter was very, very young, you know, when she started to old enough to understand, I says, you know, oh, I love you, Daddy, you know, and I would take her place.
Yeah.
Says, yeah, but are you going to love me when I'm 100 years old and you have to change my diaper? And she says, ooh, you know. And I would just, as they got older, and to this day, she's like almost 40, and I still tell her, I said, "You're still going to change my diaper when I'm 100 years old, right?" She goes, "I'll hire somebody to do that." I'm preparing them,
Well, I've met many of sons that take better care of their parents than the daughters do. So
Well, that's
it's
good.
either or. It's either or. It's how you raise your kids and the compassion. But sometimes compassion can turn quickly. So yes, the best way to introduce a caregiver is very, very slowly.
Well, how about this? Would you consider moving in with me or one of the siblings if we all agree that you need help with your personal care or aren't safe at home alone anymore? How do you feel about moving into an assisted living facility? How do those conversations normally go?
Moving into an assisted living facility is okay. If you demand to stay in your home and you go into assisted living facility, you're going to still be as needy as you were when you were in your home. So what I'm seeing is a lot of parents that are in assisted living facilities, the kids still have to hire extra caregivers because the assisted living facilities are understaffed.
They are, aren't they?
They still need somebody for the toileting and bathing and dressing.
And
Yeah.
you know that
They're that kind of limited.
an assisted facility is just, that's hard to say. You know that an assisted living facility is understaffed when you go visit somebody and there's all these wheelchairs in the hallway and they're all kind of staring at the walls, and there's no activities going on. I just reminded myself that a good friend of ours, and she's been on the show many times. In fact, she's been a guest host when Adrian can't make it. Linda Bice, you know her, Adrian, right? I don't know if
Yes.
you heard that her husband recently died, and it's such a sad
Yes,
situation. The
just
whole story, he had some kind of
suddenly.
problem, and it became an infant. He was a child. And she needed to change his diapers and just feed him what you serve a 2-year-old and sit him in front of the TV watching cartoons, and it just took its toll on her. I mean, she developed a tumor in her brain, which she's still kind of working on getting through. The statistic, 60% get sicker than their loved ones, hospitalized, needing a caregiver of their own. And it's a bittersweet thing because at least he's not suffering anymore in the body of a child, because I sure wouldn't want to do that. Have people, change my diapers and the people who are caring for me, like in a caregiver prison, and all of a sudden, become sicker than me. It's sad because they've been married so many years, and she's probably developed a child relationship with, it's like your little 2-year-old died. It's just, I can't even imagine what she's going through. But in a sense, I'm happy that she's free now to move on with her life as he would want her to be, and I know if it was possible for him, he would have done something to make that possible. But we all think about, as caregivers, what life will be like after caregiving is over, after my loved one passes on. But I just want to send special prayers and comfort out to Linda. But I am happy for her, and I know she's grieving now.
Linda.
But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. The diaper thing made me think of that. Sorry about that, by that visual. I also have this thing about guilt. I compare it to a dirty diaper, how you just gotta find out if the guilt is deserved or undeserved. If it's deserved, then fix it. Do whatever you have to do, make amends, apologize, turn yourself into the police, and then throw the diaper away like you would throw the guilt away. And if it's undeserved, just throw it away without doing anything because you're okay. Some mother who likes to dispense guilt is probably putting it on you. So the next thing I want to talk about is, can I help you scout out quality assisted living facilities in nursing homes? So, you know, maybe they don't want to go, but, you know, with my mother's case, she fell right in front of her house, and so she broke something in her pelvis. Unfortunately, it's so sad, but unfortunately, people don't make the moves for their loved ones until something bad happens, a fall, you know, a broken bone, or you know, they get into an accident in their car and they say, well, maybe we should take the keys away. You know, you really have to be proactive. But it's harder because they're going to say, well, I haven't gotten into an accident yet. Well, I haven't fallen yet, you know, and they love that word yet. But isn't it better to do it before something happens? You know, it's true they almost fell five times, but they didn't fall.
My number one thing is if you can prepare. And the next thing is long-term care insurance. I mean, right now I'm going through a situation with a friend of mine, and they had, when they started caring for their mother, they had close to $800,000 in the bank. 3 years later, they're almost broke. Wow. And now they're sitting and thinking, okay, if mom runs out of money, will Medicaid come in and take care of mom? Well, right now, healthcare is in peril. We don't know what's going to happen because there are some situations of nursing homes to where Medicaid is not paying for the facilities. And facilities like assisted living facilities, beautiful assisted living facilities are popping up. Matter of fact, Margaritaville just opened up a new home care facility in Florida. But in order to get in there, $10,000 a month. And that is all inclusive paid. But I mean, who has $10,000 a month? Now, what I'm happy about is they have an act that Congress just passed called the RAISE Act. And hopefully Medicare Advantage will start helping with this. And maybe we're turning the direction to helping everyone in caregiving.
Yeah, well, that's good news. That's good news. So let me have another one here. I've got, can I help? I already said that one. Have you talked to your doctor about the normal aging process? I guess this is for somebody in denial that I am fine. You know, my mother-in-law is like this now. You know, she can't remember anything, and she says, and there's nothing wrong with my memory, you know, and we got to get her out of that house. She's fired every she didn't fire them, but they quit because, you know, she calls the police on them. You stole this, you stole that. And, you know, the only way that we have any sense of what's going on is we got cameras. I can watch, you know, from the cameras. We're going up there this weekend to just see how bad it's gotten. But it's so hard to find a doctor who will actually diagnose your loved one with dementia. It's almost like they don't want to do it. But we've got another doctor now, and hopefully they'll do it so that we can do something, put her in a facility. But what's your deal about why doctors are so hesitant to put this on them? Is it the senior rights thing? Because there's a resurgence of that because of elder abuse. And so, you know, the pendulum is moving too far in the other direction now, trying to protect the rights of seniors, but really they're not protecting them from themselves. What do you say about that?
You're totally right. Right now, doctors are very hesitant on diagnosing anything, but the sad part about it is pharmaceutical companies are trying to shove all this medicine and everything and saying, hey, let's give them a pill. But
yeah, they're going straight to the consumer with these television commercials. It used to be, you know, I don't know what just happened. It used to be that you go to the doctors and say, hey, we've got a great pill for your patients here. Here's some samples, you know. Now they're just bypassing the doctor, and they're going to television, and they're saying, screw the doctor. you need this pill, you know, and here's why. And then they give this long list of problems associated with it. Well, you know, it can cause nausea, diarrhea, suicide, death.
Yes, the side effects are worse than the cure. Well, that's another
It's a
thing I want.
joke.
Well, that's another thing I want to tell you. I've walked into many homes to where I've had seniors with garbage bags of pills, and they would put them on a counter and say, "I don't know which one to take anymore." So one thing is research, and I will research anything and everything you have because I had clients that were taking five blood pressure pills when all they needed was one. You know, so doctors are afraid to say anything because they're afraid of lawsuits, medical malpractice. They don't want to say the wrong thing.
You think we need
Managing
some laws?
medication is important.
Say again.
Massively important.
You think we need some laws that maybe give some patients the right, if their quality of life is really bad and there's no cure, that if they want to just check out, that we should allow them to?
That is a very deep question because it could go either way.
Yeah, there's
I mean,
abuses that could happen, the children who want their money. Yeah, he's I don't know how
death
to police it.
panels.
Yeah, death
Yeah.
panels. Yeah, but I think the final decision should be up to the individual if they're capable of making it, or to one that they placed in their advance directive. I think that's where the decision needs to come from.
Yes, and it depends how terminal, because I've definitely seen terminal cases turn around. And when they could have sat there and said, "Okay, I quit," and then they ended up, you know, going into remission. So
Yeah.
it's kind of a hard thing to say.
It's like that Terry, how do you pronounce her name? Terry Shriver case where even the family couldn't agree. The husband wanted to pull the plug and the parents wanted to, continue with the care. Shrivo, I think it was. Terry Shrivo. So yeah,
I
it's a
think
difficult
so.
thing, but I just keep thinking if I'm in that position, I want to be able to know that I have the right to say, okay, this is too hard on my loved ones. I am not going to ruin their lives. And yes, they love it, and yes, it's a great opportunity. And you hear all these posts from caregivers, oh, it killed me, but I'm so thankful for the opportunity. I would do it all over again. And they're like, they have emphysema, they've got cancer, they've got diabetes, they're disabled, all because of their caregiving duties. Now, not everyone's like that. But I'm talking about the worst of the worst of the worst, and you've seen a major of it as well as I have. They're the 30% who die, and it's typically because they've got this mentality that, my life is not worth as much as their life. I would gladly give my life for my loved one. And I just don't believe that your loved one would want you to sacrifice one life for another.
No.
They're the sick one, you're the younger one, you've got the family, the kids, you need to go on. And we love those movies where the hero takes I'm thinking of Bruce Willis or something of his about an asteroid coming, and so he chose to stay on the asteroid because they couldn't get the bomb. It needed to be dug deeper, but he either had to watch the world die because this asteroid was going to destroy it, or he can stay on the asteroid, sacrifice his life and let everyone else live. And that's kind of a caregiving thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, if you can give tender, loving care without stressing yourself out, it does have to be the patient's decision.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, and that's not the vast majority of situations. I'm talking about the really extreme ones. So, let me see. Can one of us accompany you to some doctor's appointments? We recognize your right to privacy. Now, this is a good one because when my mother-in-law goes to the doctor, she says, "He said I was all right. He gave me a test and he said I passed with flying colors." Well, really? Because I was there and that isn't what I heard. That isn't what I took out of it. So obviously, I think there are some people who let their loved one go to the doctor by themselves, who aren't like dementia or what anything like that. But even early on, healthy loved ones, you should always go to the doctor with them, don't you think so?
I agree. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And now you can actually sign, say, for example, you do have a caregiver in the home and you cannot go with your family member. You could actually sign for the caregiver to get the information for you, and they could write everything down and bring it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's another one. Have you thought about what kind of medical treatment you want in the future and who would make those decisions? We're talking about an advanced directive here. You can't make or communicate those on your own. Have you put these desires in writing? Who do you want to make those decisions for you? And I've got one, my wife's got one, and I
I've
chose the
got one.
person who I trust. Who would do? He probably would die for me. They're that loyal, and so I know he would do the right thing, and make the right decision on my behalf because he knows how I feel.
Well, I really feel that a lot of people also should have DNRs in place too.
Do not resuscitate.
Yes,
A little wristband.
advanced.
Yeah, my mother had that.
Yeah, because I mean, my father-in-law had Alzheimer's, and my mother-in-law refused to sign a DNR for him, and he got to the point where he was begging, and we ended up putting him on hospice, and when he did pass away, he suffered. He suffered massively.
Yeah, our loved ones somehow have a need for them to stick around, and they're blinded by the fact that they don't want to be around. They're suffering. And so it's a sad situation. But yeah, absolutely. How do you feel about being kept alive with ventilators, feeding tubes, other interventions? And some of this gets kind of weird because after I had mine all filled out, he said, well, what about the paddles? What if your heart stops? Or what if you need something that seems kind of minor that we do all the time? And I started thinking, I guess it would depend on what my prognosis is, or what are the odds of me having a quality life after you bring me back? If I have a heart attack, for example, right? People have heart attacks all the time. They bring them back. And they go on to live, many years after. So that's what you have to consider with that one. What do you say about that?
Every situation is different. Every situation is different, and you have to make that determination at the time. I mean, I don't think you should be able to say, okay, a year from now, if something happens, I'm going to sign everything off right now. If something happens a year from now, I think every situation is different.
Now, where should we keep all our documents? I debated this. I said, should I keep my advance directive in the glove compartment of my car? Should I keep it in the little packet in my wheel in Charlene's wheelchair? Where should we really keep them, and how many copies should we have of them?
We should have at least three copies. Matter of fact, I just designed a booklet called The Organizational Planner, the Caregiver's Organizational Planner, where you put all your information in, and when an EMT or a doctor's office or anything comes, it's all right there. And you could have your advance directive, your DNR, everything right there in one organized place.
And what are the psychological reasons that keep people from doing the advance directive and even a will? Why are some people just so hesitant to do? No, I'll do that later. Is it because they're afraid they're going to jinx their life, and once they write the will
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
or the kids will find out, you mean I'm going to get this, and then secretly or subconsciously I think they're going to knock me off to get my stuff. Does that really go on in their mind?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
I've seen situations to where the parents have secretly made a will and did not tell anyone. And then on the other hand, I have parents that refused to do a will and said, "When I'm dead, deal with it."
That's
So
funny.
yeah, it's hard to write a paper of your last will and testament.
Let's take another short break and then we'll wrap this up when we come back. So don't go away.
Anytime we suffer loss, we grieve. And a lot of people don't realize what even the grief process is. But it could be 5 to 7 steps ranging from denial, I don't believe this is happening, anger, oh my gosh, I'm so upset this is happening, to a form of bargaining, how can I get out of this, to depression, which is a very serious thing because that often leads to suicide. And then finally, after you realize you have no more control over your situation and you're totally okay with the new normal that it brings, that wonderful, wonderful place called acceptance.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you and ultimately an investment in them.
And we're back with Tina Scallon, and Adrian, I think, had to go to her physical therapy appointment, so we wish her well. So let me see what we've got here. Have you consulted a reliable financial planner who can help anticipate your needs as you age? Finances are a big deal, like you said. So some family went through $300,000. How will having a financial planner help?
Long-term care insurance.
Yeah, but a lot of people are too old to get it. I mean, if you are over past your 50s, I think it might be unaffordable. No, they say the
yes.
best time to get it is in your early 50s.
Yes, well, 30s, 40s.
Well, really? 30s, 40s?
Well, if you're planning for your old age. I mean, right now I'm 50 and I did it when I was 25.
Now, what does it cost at 25? I'm curious.
It's pretty cheap. I mean, I was paying close to $34 a month.
And when did
But
it
I
go up?
mean,
That is
this
cheap. I
year
was
when I
paying 110. I did mine at 49.
Yeah, well, I just turned 50 and I'm paying close to 200.
So how many times did they raise it on you?
Quite a few. I mean, from 34 to 200, that's a nice little stretch, but I will be well taken care of and I don't have to worry about my daughter wiping my butt.
Yeah, you can have a stranger wiping your butt.
Well, I
Which
tell
is
you the
better,
truth.
believe it or not.
Well, it is, and you know, that's one of the reasons why I started my website. I want to educate people. I don't want taking care of your loved ones to be and oh my God, I can't do this. This is so gross. I don't want that. I want, Mom, I love you so much. You've taken such good care of me. I want to do the same thing, but I don't know how to change the sheets with you in it. Where can I find this information?
Hmm.
Well, I want to teach you. I want to help you.
So here's a question. Are you willing to have a joint checking account with me so I can help you pay your bills if necessary? Now, this is what my mother-in-law did with her son. And I can't tell you how many times she has threatened to take it back because, you know, he won't give her any money. And, you know, but she's, when we met them for the first time, she had like all these boxes in her garage from QVC unopened. I mean, she's like a shopaholic. And she sees something on TV, she'll go buy it. And so, you know, he purposely keeps very little money in there because he knows she'll spend everything she's got. And so there's always this friction, you know, and they'll be on the phone for 3 hours. And, you know, she's just telling him, you know, my husband wouldn't do this. You know, usually, you know, just laying the guilt on him. But, you know, you got to be strong. Caregivers have to be strong, don't they?
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, a power of attorney helps out a lot because the patient still has the control as long as they don't have a, you know, Alzheimer's or something like that, but they still have the control, and then there's someone there that could help too.
So can we discuss how I can help handle some of your financial responsibilities, like reviewing credit card statements and paying some bills? This is obviously while the finances are still kind of in the hands of the loved one. How do we have that conversation with our loved one?
That is a very tough. a lot of CPAs and financial advisors will now come out to the home. And if you do it in such a way to where they're prepared before they come out to the home, it makes things a lot easier. Dad does not want to relinquish his finances or tell anybody because he's a private person and it's none of their darn business. But if they come prepared, it makes things a lot easier.
What are the advantages and disadvantages of getting that power of attorney you were talking about? I mean, are we going to be held liable for their bills and their debts when they die, or are we protected in some way? Because that's kind of scary. I remember thinking, well, I don't think I want to be a power of attorney for my mother because, you know, Medicare especially, they'll come after you, won't they? Or am I wrong?
Power of attorney is valid until they stop breathing. Once they stop breathing, then it goes into the executor of their estate. And that could be a different person. But if you are the executor to their estate, yes, you are liable until everything is paid for and met. But that's where a probate attorney comes into play, and they help you through everything.
You're liable personally or just as the executor of her
estate?
As the
executor.
So they can't come after my stuff, my house, my checking account.
No.
Okay. Well,
I just went through this with my uncle.
I've asked you a lot of questions. I'm sure I missed something. Is there something that you were hoping I was going to talk about and didn't?
Well, the thing is, there's lots of questions out there that people have. I mean, we are in a caregiving crisis situation in this day and age, and there's not enough information, and unfortunately, there's not a one-stop shop on the internet to find exactly what you need because they give you just enough to where then they say you have to purchase something.
The teaser.
Yes, and I'm coming up to my 100th post, and I've put enough posts on my website to where it could help you with everything. And if you want to continue the conversation and there's something you want to know, please feel free to get in touch with me.
How do we get in touch with you? And how do we get to your website? How do we read your posts, especially
it
the 100th one?
TheUltimateCaregivingExpert.com.
That's it,
That is it.
One-stop shopping.
one-stop shopping. Matter of fact, I took my big book that is on Amazon and I tore it up into different chapters because a lot of people were saying, oh, I don't want this big book. I just want to read, you know, certain chapters. So now you can come onto my website and get only the chapters.
Are those blogs too, those chapters?
No, the blogs are just individual. Matter of fact, I have a lot of them that are have content upgrades to where you could print things out and you could put them on a refrigerator. I have subjects from macular degeneration to Alzheimer's to Hoyer lifts to memory loss. I think I have it all.
You have any on aphasia?
No,
you know what aphasia
is?
Aphasia is what happens when you have a neurological problem or a stroke, and that's what my wife has. She can't speak because the language part of her brain was damaged, and she can't remember how to move the lips and the tongue and all of the things inside your mouth to speak, to have language, and she can't remember how to spell the words accurately. And then something that goes along with aphasia is apraxia. That's where you have confusion and, you know, you get your things mixed up. You misplace words and you substitute words and stuff like that. Those are great articles for stroke patients. It's
okay.
A free tip. No extra charge for that.
Well, then guess what? I'm going to write a post about it. And that's the thing. You know, when I was in business, I was able to help everyone in Slidell, Louisiana. And I just felt kind of trapped. I felt like there was so many other people that I could help and how to do it. Well, 25 years ago, we didn't have the internet yet and couldn't do much there. But now I can help so many people. I mean, I took care of, I got a advising client, she lived in Colorado. Her mother lived in New York. Her mother was a very independent woman that didn't want anyone in her home. And the daughter in Colorado did not want to go. She was too busy. She couldn't do it. So she hired me to set everything up. So the internet's very powerful.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And I think we discussed a lot of things today. And Adrian's contact information is thecaregiverspace.org. That's the website.
Yes.
And then her email is Adrienne@ADDRIENNE. I think I'm spelling it right.
Yes.
Well, thanks again. And until next Wednesday at noon, we will see you all again. So bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.